Okay, we are live. We are live, and I'm just going to check that I can see us in the group, and I'm going to just give it a second to let people jump on as well. Yes, I see us. We look gorgeous. Oh, I love it. Welcome back, Effie. Welcome to the live Q&A.
Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. And we'll just see if anybody's going to be jumping on. Oh my God, Facebook is doing captions, which is very off-putting. I'm just going to, oh, I can't turn them off. I'm just going to have to ignore it. Holly's on. Hi, Holly. I've got Facebook over here so I can see people's names because the comments on here don't always show us the names of the people. Although I can see Holly's name. Holly obviously registered like you're supposed to. So gold star for you, Holly. Well done. So I'm so excited to have you back. And I'm excited to be back as well because it's been a few weeks since we did a live Q&A here in the Confidence Academy. And what a way to kick it back off. We've got Effie. Effie was my wonderful guest this week. And I'm so excited to have you back. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I'm just going to say, Effie, is you're in the midst of a session. Have you been recording today?
Yeah, all afternoon. That's why I look like this.
Oh, no, I love it. It's so rock and roll. You're like, yeah, she's made time for us, you guys. She's made time. So this is going to be a quick fire half hour where I'm just going to fire some more questions at you. We're just, again, we're going to see where the conversation goes. But the theme for tonight is all around trusting the process. And I feel like all of the topics that we covered in the episode have required an element of trusting the process, right? So I feel like we're quite qualified to talk about this. And I'm going to start off by sharing something that's going on for me right now, because I feel like it doesn't matter how much self-development we do, how spiritual we think we are, how much experience life gives us. Yeah. Life always has an opportunity to kick us in the nuts, throw us another curveball. And I think it's really important to remember that trusting the process is an option and it's something that's available to us. And so I'm just going to share really quickly something that's gone on for us this week. In fact, since last year, we've been navigating with our 9-year-old Louis, a possible autism diagnosis and everything that goes with that. And lockdown completely threw him a curveball, you know, being ripped out of school, not seeing his friends, like nothing being the same. And for those people who don't know, autistic people need things to be the same. They thrive on structure. They feel safe when things are what they expect. So a year of lockdown has meant that none of that could happen. Yeah. And besides which, he wasn't diagnosed. So we've kind of found this out like the hard way. And again, you know, I've been recently throwing myself into my work going, yeah, I'm going to take on loads of one-to-one clients because I love doing my intuitive readings and I love doing my podcast and I love doing all of my, you know, I write daily emails to my list and all of this stuff. And, you know, you can get really certain on this is my path. This is where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. And then like something happens and it's so easy to get frustrated and feel like life is trying to take something from you. Mm-hmm. So I would love to open a discussion around that because I feel like we dove into that a little bit on the episode, but do you have any experiences to draw on where you thought you were on path, you thought you knew what you were doing, everything seemed to be lining up, you were like, yes, I'm nailing this thing called life, and then something happened that just was like, nah, that's not happening? Do you have any experiences to talk about around that?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the first one that's probably really on topic is COVID. Like, right before COVID hit and we went into the first lockdown, I had finally got myself into a financial situation where I could almost solely rely on music. I was gigging weekly, I had really good residencies, I was kind of financially stable, like for the first time. And then all of a sudden it was like, nope, can't do anything. So I was like, okay, how do I navigate this? And luckily, you know, Universal Credit's been available and the self-employment schemes have been available. And there's been an array of other like funds and stuff that, you know, PRS did a really good one and Help Musicians UK. So like big up all of those platforms that have been able to give us that because it really, really helped me out. Then I had to kind of go back and be like, okay, what about releasing music? How am I going to navigate this? And so I just decided to, all the plans that I had, I was like, rather than not plan at all, let me just see what I can do in the meantime. So whether that was working out and getting into a routine, doing my meditations every day, because I know that helps me, journaling, reading, and just getting myself into such a space so that when the world opens back up, I'm like in such a good space. I've given myself almost like a head start again. And all the while trying to not be too hard on myself if I don't get up and do the things that I need to do every day. Because being your own boss is hard because you don't have anyone to answer to other than yourself. So the only person you're ever letting down is you.
So that I think we're the harshest boss as well, aren't we? You know, if I try and call in sick, it's like, no, you can't be sick. In fact, I did that. I had my COVID jab 2 weeks ago now. Mm-hmm. And boldly declared to my mum, I'm unavailable for side effects. I'm not having side effects. It's a mindset anyway. You know, this is so typical of me. It's a mindset. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't got time for that. I've got too much to do. Yeah. It's not going to affect me that way. I kid you not, literally 5 minutes, probably not even that, from putting the phone down to my mum and going, yeah, no, I feel really good. It's really good. Mm-hmm. I went down like a sack of shit. I had the body shakes. I couldn't breathe. I was just like, oh, I'm so ill for like 24 hours. And it was like, yeah, right, yeah, fair play. I feel like sometimes it's just a reminder, like, no, like sometimes you're not in control. In fact, we're rarely in control.
Yeah.
I think COVID's such a good example. And I think you're right. I think it's been a really important time to ask yourself, what can I do here? Because you can, and you know, whether it's COVID or not, there's going to be situations in life where you think you're going in one direction, something's going to happen, something's going to come along and change. And some of the people I've worked with, that has come in at a drastic cost, right? Mm-hmm. People that have, they've lost their health, they've lost the use of their limbs, their relationships have broken down. They've completely lost their job. They, you know, the thing that their entire identity was wrapped up in is taken away. And you can live your whole life in regret and sadness and anger and resentment that didn't work out. And I think there are so many people now in the world going, you know, I had my chance and I lost it. And like something I'm so passionate about is, as long as you're living and breathing, there's more for you. There's still more. There's another door that's going to open. There's another corner to turn. But I think my experience even this week has reminded me, you can feel like you're on purpose. You can feel like you figured it out, and you might not have figured it out. Something might come along and go, you know. And so now, even just before I came on this live stream, I've signed up for a 6-week course in understanding autism so that I can qualify in it, because that's the only way I can see to there's no support, right? I mean, I'm not going to say no support. There's very little support. Yeah. And the support that there is not readily available, because I think there are so many people, and, you know, there's a lot of theories as to why that is, but I definitely think the lockdown has mentally rocked so many people. And so out of nowhere, I've had that choice. I could get frustrated, and I'll admit there is frustration, because it's like, oh, a bit like you, just as I found my path, just as I thought I knew what I was going to do, just as I thought everything was lining up, here comes this curveball. But I think in those moments you have to come back to, what do I believe is true at the core of that? Do I believe that the universe is a mean genie in a bottle just hurling crap at me so that every time I think I'm doing well, I'm going to fall off? Or am I always being guided? Is there a path that I'm on that is the entire reason for my being? And to me, that's what trusting the process truly is.
Absolutely. And also on the flip side of it, sometimes you can think, am I doing enough? And within the music industry, things can literally change overnight, like one song, one phone call, one meeting. And for me, really, I can't go into too much detail, but I didn't know that a few weeks ago that what's kind of happened to me in the last couple of weeks was going to happen. So there I am thinking, shit, what am I going to do? Like, how is this going to, you know, take shape? What's next for me? I get a phone call. I'm now going to be going out to LA, and it could be, you know, quite a big change in pace for what I'm doing. And it's all just from like one thing. And so positive things can change and throw you off at the same time. You could be like, okay, cool, this is the plan. And then all of a sudden you get an opportunity and it's like, whoa, hang on.
Yeah.
Been catapulted into something even bigger.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting right now.
And so that is exciting. And my immediate question is, do you need a podcast host to accompany you to LA? I mean, you know, I might know someone. Take me away from it all. I love it. My question, I've got a couple of questions, actually. First of all, what are your core beliefs now? And are they the same as they were a year ago before we went into lockdown? Or have they shifted over that 12-month period? Like the core beliefs that you now lean on, the things that pull you through?
That's such a good question.
Thank you very much.
They have changed because I've had to say to myself, you know, yes, you are in control of certain things, but I've had to learn that not to get frustrated at the things that I'm not in control of. And again, to trust the process. I know that I'm on a trajectory. I've always felt like I was going to do well. I'm going to succeed in the path that I want to choose. It's just always been something intuitive and in my gut. I didn't know when, I didn't know how, but I just know. And so that's always been the same for me, like throughout my entire life. That's never faltered. That's never changed. But more recently, I think being able to manifest and focus on those things and meditate over it and do all these sorts of things, that's probably been the biggest change for me. But actually doing that and seeing the results and really believing in it.
I've got to say, I'm going to back that up. I did a meditation challenge in March, and I'm the same as you, right? I've always known I was going to do something brilliant. And I don't know what. And I mean, I have done many brilliant things, but it still feels like that's what drives me every single day. Yeah. It's like, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. Keep going, keep going, keep going. And I think that can be a really good thing. And sometimes it can be to my detriment. And I don't know if you feel like this, but because of that, I can sometimes forget to appreciate everything I've created already. Yeah. And then get into the belief that I haven't created it yet. And this is the manifestation piece, right? Because we're constantly manifesting, whether you believe in manifestation or not. It's law of attraction. It's happening whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And I think I've often been in the mindset of I'm getting there, and there has been this far off place that I'm not at yet. Mm-hmm. And so and I'll scale these mountains and I'll achieve so much, but I'm already eyeing up the next mountain in the background and I'm not appreciating the one that I just climbed.
That's how
and then that, right. And then it cultivates this belief of, oh, I still didn't get there. I still didn't get there. I'm failing. I'm failing. I'm failing. Mm-hmm. And for me, meditation is that stillness. And I'm not a still, quiet person. I'm a manic, like, whoa, like run around everywhere. Like if there's an issue, even a challenge that knocks me on my ass, I'm never down for long. I'll be back up quickly going, right, that's what we're dealing with. Fine. So what do I do? Like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And I think the beauty of meditation is sometimes there's nothing to do except shut up and listen, because the guidance is there, you know, the guidance is there. And I even had to remind myself of that earlier today.
Yeah.
When I've actually started a journal, because you've mentioned journaling as well. And that's also something I do every day in some way, shape or form. And, you know, this situation with Louis, and I was getting all in my head and my fear about it and what it's going to mean. And I started to get into the thoughts of, I can't do this. I can't, I don't know how to navigate this. This isn't my zone of genius. I don't know what I'm doing. Fear, fear, fear. And then I stopped. And I really think that meditation has given me the tools to allow myself to do that. Look out, we've got a three-year-old gate crashing. Hi, baby. It's given me the tools to do that. And from that place of stillness, then you can remember what you actually believe. Yeah. And so she's just going to get into position. This is the moment in the live Q&A where Liz gets her boobs out. That's every week. It's a free show, guys. You can thank me later. but yeah, it's that stillness. And so today when I got into that place and I recognized it quickly, I recognized that feeling of, I don't know what I'm doing. I feel out of my depth. I can't deal with this. And I stopped and I picked up a journal and I was like, right, what do we know to be true? What do we believe? And I believe God doesn't give you anything you can't handle. I believe that 100%. I believe the guidance is always available to us, mm-hmm. that we're constantly supported, that there's no need to fear, even if something looks terrifying or like something you haven't navigated before. Mm-hmm. And just shifting myself back to that, I didn't get all the answers. It doesn't work like that. But no. I stopped freaking out. I stopped going, I can't do this. And it was like, well, what if I believed that I could do this? Or like, what am I going to do from that place of belief? And I think it's such a powerful thing. And so, to anyone listening or anybody watching, if you haven't tried meditation, I highly recommend it. I was always the person that said, I can't meditate. I can't sit still for 5 minutes. Like my brain is all up. And my brain is like that. But after doing it for 30 days straight, you're training yourself. It's like anything else. It's just a muscle. You're just training yourself to do something different. We've got a comment coming in.
That's why they call it a practice.
Exactly that.
Meditation practice. You have to.
Yeah. And I don't know what you think about this, because obviously as singers, practice, it should be something we're good at, because mm-hmm. I've always practiced singing. But I think the difference with singing was I always loved to do it. So it was just always joyful for me. So it never felt like practice or routine or structure, anything I had to do. I was giving my soul what it wanted, which was to open my mouth and sing, Right. Philippa says, I've always found the yin yang interesting and feel sometimes we have to lose so we can recognize success. Sometimes we have to be sad to fully feel the happiness. One can't be appreciated without the other, which is good to know. But when you're caught up in it, it's tough to navigate, for sure. Do you know, and I've gone round and round with that belief. I've got to be honest, Philippa, because in the self-development arena and in the spiritual arena, there are some people and some, belief systems around, you don't have to lose, you don't have to suffer. I've seen people teach this, like mm-hmm. your suffering is self-made, it's not necessary. I kind of get what that means, but I also think that we're having a life experience. And this was something I was going to come to earlier when you were talking about, this opportunity that's opened up for you. Mm. It's the way that we see our challenges. To me, a challenge can either be a block that you're running headfirst into constantly that's stopping you, mm. or you can see it as a block to climb up on, which then elevates you to the next thing. And I think if we go through life expecting it to not challenge us, mm-hmm. then every time it challenges us, we're like, oh no, like, what is this? Like, and we can't handle it.
I think it's about ebb and flow, and you're gonna, like, if you feel up, then you are also gonna have to feel down, because if you're just feeling this all the time, then there's probably not much going on. Like, you are gonna feel up some days and you are gonna feel down others, but it's how you manage it. And I think it's also about understanding the path of resistance, and we all need to be on the path of least resistance. So it's like, if you wake up one day and you know that meditation is good for you, but you're not feeling it. You're like, today, I don't want to do anything but hang out in my PJs, eat some food, maybe sit out in the garden, whatever it is. Mm. If that's how you feel, do that. When you feel
good, do the things that make you feel good, because when you go against it, you're going against, and that's the resistance, and that's when things become tough, and then you're just hard on yourself for no reason. And it's Abraham Hicks that I learned that from.
Anyone
out there who hasn't heard of Abraham Hicks, go check her out, because she's a G.
She is a G. She's absolutely brilliant. I love how she talks. That book, Ask and It Is Given, was something that came into my life years ago. And I remember when I think it was a lady called Stephanie Nicolich, shout out to Stephanie, who put me onto it. And she said, this book isn't for everybody, and it might be a bit much at first. And I remember reading literally the first page, and it felt like I'd come home. I was like, this is everything I've always known. This is everything I've known. I just forgot. Yeah. And I lapped it up. I love it. Love it. And that is such a brilliant point you've just made, that path of least resistance. I think we're in this mindset now of there always being something that we have to do. We're back on this again, right? And so we feel like we should meditate, or we feel like we should journal, or we feel like we should manage our money, or we should do this, or we should do that. Those are all wonderful things. They're wonderful tools we can use. But ultimately, we have to trust that we know what we need in any given moment. And sometimes it's not to meditate or to journal. It's to give yourself what you need. And I've definitely done that. I've definitely consciously chosen to sit in my bed and wail and eat ice cream and feel crap. But kind of with the caveat that we're not doing this forever. We're just going to do this for a minute.
Yeah.
And then we're going to suck it up. We're going to put it away and we're going to crack on. Right.
Yeah. And also, another thing that I have read and been listening to is that a lot of people, like in life, we're taught that life's hard and life's a struggle. Well, no, it isn't hard and a struggle. Like, a lot of times we kind of make it hard and we make it a struggle because we go on the path of resistance rather than the path of least resistance. So it's like, sometimes life is hard, sometimes there will be struggles, and some people have more than others, but that doesn't mean that that's how it should be. Like, if your life is good, let it be good. And that's one of the things I really get on board with the last few years. Like, if things are going well, I'm like, oh my god, things are going too well, something's gonna go wrong. And it's like, everything's good, just let it be good.
I totally resonate with that as well. I think and I actually think that's because a lot of the books that we read, even the really inspirational, motivational ones, quite often have a story where it all went to shit first and then it got better. We've got this mindset now, this subconscious belief that, it can be good, but it has to be bad first. And I think, you know, this is going back to what Philippa said about we sometimes have to lose so we can recognize success. I think that's just basically saying all of our emotions are valid. All of our emotions count. Like, you're allowed to feel, it's okay to feel sad. It's okay to feel disappointment. And I think, again, where the self-development world sometimes falls down is it's been very much this push of, you have to feel good, you have to feel positive, you know, get yourself back to that. And what I love about Abraham Hicks is they teach that too, but it's never about going from one to the other. It's never about going, oh, I'm depressed, so I have to be joyful. It's reach for the next best feeling. And when you're very depressed or sad, the next best feeling might just be anger or disappointment, but it's a bit better. It's a slightly higher vibration than the desperate anxiety or depression that you might have been feeling. And that process of going through the emotions, I think, is important. It's, again, it's, you're not asking yourself to make a huge leap, which really doesn't feel possible anyway. You're saying, I'm just going to ask myself to feel better. And that was, you know, that was a technique I used last year. I found myself in a pit of grief. My friend had died, you know, COVID had happened and my choir had shut down and all these things. And I was desperately sad. And then I just remembered that little tip of, so what would feel better? Like, what's just a little bit better than this? Let's reach for that. Let's, you know, let's not try and skip through meadows right now. We're not going to do that. And, you know, the grief was valid, completely valid. Yet my self-talk in the beginning, my reaction to that wasn't healthy. I was berating myself. Why do you feel like that? Why can't you get yourself up? Why don't you feel better? You're supposed to be intuitive. You're supposed to be a spiritual confidence coach. Yeah. You do this for others. Why can't you do it for yourself? And I think that it was another moment of, maybe we didn't figure it all out yet. Maybe maybe we get another round, you know?
All relative as well. We give ourselves a hard time because, like, you might be feeling really shit about something and then you go, oh, but there's so many people worse off than me. And it's like, yeah, that might be true. But guys, if you're not feeling good in your situation, it is relative to you. Like, just be, you know, you could have just had a marriage that broke down and that's really crap. Someone could have just lost their job. They don't cancel out one another. They're both terrible things. One's not worse than the other. It's like, you know, you could have just had a bad day. You had a bad dream and you woke up and you're in a bad mood. Like, it's okay. Like, you don't have to do that. The whole, like, self-pity. Oh, no, I shouldn't feel like this. Like, I always tell myself off for that. I'd never do that anymore.
Such a good point. Such a good point. Philippa says, Abraham Hicks. I'm definitely going to check that out. Thanks, ladies. Yeah, definitely do it. It's it's Esther Hicks now. Jerry died a few years ago, I think. And Abraham is the collective that Esther channels. It's mind-blowingly good. But the guidance is always spot on. I just love it. I just love everything she shares. It's magic. So, Effie, I know I need to let you go. You've got to get back to work, girl.
5-10 minutes. I've got 5-10
I love it. Have we got any questions? Let's just see. I don't know if anyone is with us live, but if you have questions, and actually, even if you're watching this on the replay, or if you're listening to this on the podcast, we can still take your questions, get yourself into the Facebook group. If you're on the video, then you can post below the video. Of course, you can tag us in. If you're listening to this on the podcast, thanks for checking us out. Come over to the Facebook group. Effie is in there now. And you can post your questions, your comments. I'll put some links to Abraham Hicks in the Facebook group as well. And definitely their emotional guidance scale as well. That's a brilliant graphic that just illustrates what we were just talking about, basically. Yeah. So as we've just got a few more minutes then, Effie, because I know that I do need to let you go. What was the other question I had for you? Because there was something else I wanted to ask. I think it was about how do you navigate the fear that arises when the process starts to unfold before you and it isn't what you thought. So, you know, relative to this opportunity that you've got coming up right now, how do you navigate that inevitable fear because you're going out of your comfort zone or you're going off of something that was familiar? Do you have a process for that, or is it just something that you navigate when it shows up?
One thing I definitely have to just navigate it as it shows up, because you, like, it's different every time. Like, you don't know what it's going to be. But I always say to myself, like, at the moment, I was saying the other day to a few of my friends, like, I've been very anxious the last week or so, because I know that I'm on, like, the pinnacle of a lot of change in my life right now. Mm. And so I'm like, it's all exciting, but again, it's the unknown. Like, there's a lot of things that aren't happening. But then I have to just sit back and ask myself, okay, well, would you be more comfortable being comfortable, or so would you rather stay here and know happening, or would you rather push yourself and strive for better and strive for more? And the answer is always the second one. It's always going to be, I want to strive for more, and I have dreams and goals and I want to achieve them. So every time I feel scared, or, you know, I just have to be like, I'm ready to receive, I'm ready to do what I'm doing. This is what is supposed to happen. Nothing is going to come at me that I'm not supposed to do. And so, I just have to bring it back to that. And it, like I said, it's like when you're in a bad situation, it's like, how long do you want to stay in the bad situation? Is not being in the situation better than being in it? Is stepping away from what we know better? And most of the time it is. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people in society are quite trapped in, like, you know, day-to-day lives and doing what they know, and not stepping outside of their comfort zone. And I think that's what leads to a lot of depression and anxiety, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh my God, you've hit on so many things that I want to pick up on there. First of all, anxiety. My experience of anxiety was absolutely that. It was me. It was me recognizing that I wasn't quite on the path. And I can see Timothy Milne is on. I just have to say, Effie, Tim is a huge fan. He sent me a very nice message after listening to your interview.
And he was like,
how do you know her? How did you get that contact? She's amazing. And I was like, well, I've known her for years, you know. So Tim says, how do you gauge being on the right path, especially when you hit problems or barriers? Do you want to answer that first, Effie?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's, you know how some people are religious? Like, I'm not religious. I was kind of brought up a little bit Christian, but like not heavy. Like, my granddad was like a Baptist minister, but it was never something that I chose to follow. Yeah. And so very similarly, people who are religious, no matter what it is, they have faith. They believe in God, and God is always going to be there to steer them on the right path. For me, it's the universe and my spirituality. So I have to trust in my ancestors, my angels, my guides, my spirit guides, and in my own intuitive self. And so if I'm not feeling like there are clear messages, I ask for help. I ask. I'm like, guys, is this right? Am I doing the right thing? I might not get a clear cut answer. Like, someone's not going to come to me in my ear and be like, yes, you're doing the right thing. But there will be signs, or you'll just know. And I think that's why spirituality for me has been really important, because that's how I get that. But yeah, it's trusting your gut as well. Like, our gut is linked to our brain, and we should really listen to it more. So yeah, when problems arrive, I'm like, okay, cool. We'll deal with the problem. It's fine. It doesn't stop the end goal. It's just something that you have to then overcome in that moment.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the misconception sometimes is people think when they find the right path that then it's going to be really easy. And yeah, there is an element of flow. There's definitely an element of flow. Mm-hmm. But you're still gonna come across challenges, because we're having this human experience, and that's what we signed up for. Some people think that the challenges are tests from the universe. I don't actually believe in that. I don't think the universe has time or inclination to go, oh, look, that person's about to do really well for themselves, let me fuck it up and see how they deal with it. I just don't think that that's how it works. But I think there are always opportunities for us to tune into what we actually want to do. And, you know, like you've said, you ask for a sign and you don't always get a clear sign. The clear sign is how you feel, right? If you ask, if you said to yourself, you know, relative to your up and coming trip, right, is it right for me to go to LA, or should I be staying in the UK? Show me, I don't know, a butterfly if I'm not supposed to go. Mm-hmm. If you then see a butterfly and you're gutted because you're like, oh, well, I wanted to go. That's your sign. It's not the butterfly. It's how you feel about the butterfly, right? It's like, oh, now I really know. So whenever people, like, quite often I do intuitive readings, and people will often say, oh, should I take the job, or should I, you know, take the red pill or the blue pill, or whatever the question is. Yeah. And I'm like, well, let's just take away one of the options. How do you feel? First gut reaction, like, you know, should I take the job? Well, the job's not there anymore. How do you feel about that? Because you're either going to go, oh, thank God, or you're going to go, oh, I think I wanted it. Well, then now you know. Yeah.
It's a little bit like, I'm going to reference Friends because it's my favourite TV show ever. But it's a little bit like when Rachel is pregnant and she does a test at Monica's wedding, and Phoebe says to her, oh, no, it's negative. And she's like, what? Because she was stressing out about it. But then when she says it's negative, she was so gutted. And then she goes, no, it's really positive. And then she's like, and now you know how you really feel. And she was like, oh, that was a risky thing to do. But she then
knew. That's a risky little game.
Yeah, she knew, exactly. That's the bit, that's the line. But that's a really good example, because it's true. Yeah. Like, if you do get that option taken away, you think, oh, what would life be like if I didn't? Then you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, totally.
But it is cool also if you do get signs.
Yeah, I mean, and signs are there. They are there. You have to be open to them, though. And also recognize that it's letting go of this control. The sign might not always show up the way you expected it to. Mm-hmm. So I often use this analogy when you're asking for a sign or waiting for something, especially relative to manifestation, right? Let's say that you've decided you want something. You've asked for it to come, and now you're waiting for it to come, right? You're waiting for it, you're looking out for it, you're watching for it, and it doesn't show. Mm-hmm. And people get despondent all the time. Like, I didn't manifest that thing that I wanted. I didn't get that experience or whatever. Yeah. I liken this to arranging to meet a friend in the park, right? And you've gone into the park on the south side and you've sat on a bench and then you've stared at the same entrance you came in through looking for your friend. In the meantime, your friend's coming in from the north entrance that you didn't even know existed. And they're sat right next to you on the bench, but you're so busy eyeing up the other entrance that you don't even know that they're there. And I think this is how it works with manifestation. Often it has manifested, just not the way that you thought it was going to. Yes. And yeah, you referenced faith a minute ago. And I think, you know, faith often is confused with religion. And I just think everybody has faith in something, right? Right now, I have faith that my headphones are going to give me the sound and that my brand new spanky microphone, can we just get a ooh for that, is going to carry my voice, right? It's faith. I switch on my TV at night to watch Netflix and I have faith that my remote is going to work. I have faith that I'm going to enjoy what I'm watching on Netflix. It doesn't always work out, but do you know what I mean? That's faith. It's nothing to do with religion. It's just belief. It's solid belief. And I agree with you. I'm of the same belief that I choose to have faith in myself. I'm being guided by my higher self, my spirit guides, my angels, you know, whatever name, label you want to give it.
Yeah.
That's my guidance. And I believe that whatever it is that's guiding us has a much bigger view of what we're actually doing here than we could ever have down here on Earth. Our view is it's through such a tiny lens that we don't know. And you know, you were speaking earlier about navigating that fear that shows up, and you were saying it is a choice. Would I feel happier staying comfortable, or would I feel happier taking that risk? And I think, you know, for a lot of people, there's comfort in familiarity.
Yeah.
And routine. People, it doesn't make sense, but even with things like anxiety, right? You might have anxiety right now, or depression or stress or something like that. And you'll tell yourself, I want to be rid of it. I want to be rid of it. But the truth of the matter is, it's comfortable. Mm-hmm. Even though it's sucks balls, you know it.
You know the feeling.
You know the feeling. You know the feeling of being kept small. You know the feeling of not flying. Mm-hmm. I also have a very wacky woo-woo out there theory that, you know, if we are beings of light sent for a force of good, that in a world where everything has a polar opposite, then wouldn't it just make sense that something would be here to try and stop the light, right? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it make sense that there are certain things that show up to try and sway us off? I so believe in that. And I think it's just distinguishing, it's trusting. You said it again, you know, your gut. You can trust that feeling. Every time I haven't trusted it, I've kicked myself and gone, I should have listened to myself. I knew what I was doing.
It's getting up in the morning and thinking, I'm going to get a parking ticket today if I don't put money on the car. And I think, oh, I'll just run and do that a minute, come back, parking ticket. Should have listened.
Yeah. And it happens with like even little things, you know. If you're like back in the day when we were allowed to go into shops, you would see something that you wanted in a shop and go, oh, I might get that next week when I got a bit more money. Oh, but then it's not there. Should have got it. It can happen in the smallest of things, but it happens in the big things too. And I just think, I mean, it's a little bit morbid, but I always think, how would I feel if somebody showed up right now and were like, Lil, you're done. This is it, right? At the end of the day, you're done. You don't get a tomorrow. Like, that's it. Your life is done. Yeah. I ask myself in that moment of recognizing that I'm done, what would I have regretted not pushing play on? What would I have regretted not doing yet? Because actually in that moment, all your fear would go out the window. It would then become about shit. I've got, 2 hours left? You know, I've got to get
all this stuff done. Yeah.
Yeah. And we have that available to us now. It's a little bit morbid, but that always kicks my butt into gear. It's like, dude, you're not done. As far as we know, there is tomorrow. So fucking get yourself up. Stop belly aching about, I don't know how. I don't know if this is right. I don't know if I can. You fucking can. You were born for it. Believe in it and do it.
Yeah. And just, you know, do one thing at a time. If you make a list and you get one thing done each day of the week, amazing. Like, that's great. Don't give yourself too much to do as well, because I'm definitely a victim to myself of giving myself, I write a list, and I said it to my friend the other day. I was like, I've got to do this, this, and she was like, what, you're doing all that today? And I was like, yeah. She was like, dude, she was like, just do like two of those things and do the rest like another day. And I was like, oh, I was like, I didn't think I would be busy enough though. And she's like, no. She was, what does that even mean? She was like, just as long as you get up and do something, even if it's just reading a book that makes you feel good that day. Great.
Yeah. So true. I'm exactly the same as you. I'm definitely like, I always will write that list. I have no concept of how long things take when I write lists like that. I'm like, I'm going to write an arrangement for my choir and I'll give myself an hour. And then 8 hours later, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. These things take 8 hours. Damn it. So we never get the list done anyway. And then we like to beat ourselves up because we didn't get the list done. I mean, it's a vicious circle, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, Effie, I'm going to let you go.
Thank you so much.
Because I know we stole you away. I'm so excited for what's coming up for you. I hope that you'll stay in touch. And it would be awesome to have you back at some point when you've got news that you're allowed to share.
Maybe we'll do one from LA. I'll be on LA time and we can do another catch up.
What's that? You want me to come to LA to do the podcast? I'm there. I'll do that for you. I do request that we fly first class though. Oh, thank you so much to everybody watching as well. Thank you for joining us. As I said, if you're on the replay or if you're listening to this on the podcast, then thank you for being here. Do come at us with your questions, your comments. We would love to know what you thought of this. And please share this episode and the one that came out on Monday with anyone that you know that might need to hear it. Effie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sending love. Bye. Goodbye, everybody.